The Up With The Bonnets podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Unicorn Cleaning Services. They offer a range of facilities from domestic and commercial cleaning, which includes lets and Airbnb, and also offer ironing and laundry services. You can find a link to their website in our Facebook and Twitter bios. You can also reach them by visiting their Facebook page, or you can contact them by visiting their website, unicorncleaningservices.co.uk.
Coming up on this week's episode, Dundee, who are notorious for having fantastic cup runs, suffer a shock exit at the hands of St Mirren and Paisley. The storyline on par with Ross and Rachel from Friends. Will they? Won't they? Well, Dundee played Dunfermline on Tuesday, and we'll preview the game against Tabletop in Queen's Park at Dens on Saturday. We will also look at some of the new content that's been dropped on the D Archive, as well looking back at On This Day. Hello and welcome to episode 31 of the Up With The Bonnets podcast. I'm your host Daniel Smith, and with me as always is my co-host Paul Gray.
All right, Danny, how you doing?
I am not too bad, mate, I've got to admit, despite results.
I'm all right as well.
There's more to life than football.
No, some may say that.
I'm looking at what's not happening with football and I'm enjoying myself. Got a new TV show to watch, The Last of Us. I'm enjoying that.
Me as well.
My work's going fine. Plenty of overtime, which is always a bonus.
Not good for me.
So football, I'm not letting football bring us down.
I wouldn't let it bring you down, you know.
Saturday night maybe. Sunday's a new day.
Sunday, definitely.
Monday. Yeah.
Definitely. Sitting back and looking at things, you know. Yeah, I think some people jumped the gun just a tad. And now we're going to relive it.
It's part and parcel of being a football fan. Twa feet in the pool.
Oof, definitely.
But listen, before we start speaking about Saturday's Scottish Cup exit at the hand of St Mirren, Douglas Youth FC are hosting an evening with Charlie Adam. It is on Saturday the 11th of February, and it kicks off at 8 o'clock until 10:30. It's at the Douglas Sports Club, and tickets are on sale now for £20. You can get on them by going on the link that I've done on the websites, and also Douglas Youth have provided a link. But if you can't find them, it is on the website evenbright.co.uk. So that'll be quite good there. You get also your interview with Charlie, a Q&A, and photo opportunities. So it'll be good to speak to big, bald Charles.
Mate, I can't believe you just said that. That's my line.
I jumped in before you did. I pulled the trigger.
Oh, it'd be class to get a photo with big, bald Charles. Like, oh, man, what a guy. What a guy.
Aye, that'll be a good one. Me and Paul will be there, so that'll be good.
Can't wait.
Yep. Be in the audience having a few beverages.
Just a few.
But yeah, if you can, if you want, go and get a ticket. It'll help the Douglas Youths FC. But let's do it. Let's speak about the shock cup exit by Dundee.
Shockeroony.
I mean, who would have predicted would fail in the Scottish Cup for the 113th time?
Oh, Danny. The last one. Danny.
Mate, if you can't laugh and take the piss out yourself, what could you do?
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, I'm still a wee bit miffed because I still feel like we could have won.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Dundee did extremely well, you know, against a team who's, they've made that ground a bit of a fortress in the Premier, you know what I mean? I had chances to take, but it's just, like I said, it's just unfortunate. I mean, their keeper, or a bastard, Carson, was at the top of his game. You know what I mean? That is it, long and short. Simple as that.
I mean,
so we move on.
I mean, it's a Diddy Cup anyway. We've got a bigger cup to look at on Tuesday that we'll speak about later.
Absolutely.
I mean, who wants to hear a big day away in sunny May at Hampden when you can be looking at a Drake, probably, I don't know what day, February, a turf at McDermott Park.
Is that where it is? Yeah.
More likely, it's always there, isn't it? So
yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Oh God, can't wait. if we get through to that stage, you know, that should be the main priority this season. You know, winning the Diddy Cup or the Diddier Cup.
The Diddier Cup. But I mean, like you say, we had chances, and I mean, so did St. Man. It wasn't just all one way towards Carson's goal, but Dundee certainly had some good chances in this game to win it.
They certainly did. I mean, like I said to you, you know, earlier, when you look at the stats, it's a 50-50 split straight down the middle. Mm-hmm. Both teams had chances. Both teams had the possession. It was a lot of people were moaning about that it wasn't a good game of football. I actually really enjoyed it. I mean, it was kind of dirty, but Dundee were playing some slick passing here and there, some chances. Cameron, hopefully speak about Cameron later. Thought he was tremendous. And defensively solid. But yeah, we did have a couple of chances. Thomas had a chance in extra time. You know what, see, thinking about it now, that game for me was there for the taking. Mm-hmm. It really was. But you kind of feel like, you know, obviously this is what Bowyer's been saying for ages, that we need to be more clinical in the final third. And that game there kind of summed that up.
Yeah, I think there was even a chance with Sweeney. Mm-hmm. Was a three-header, six-yard box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, but the being clinical in the final third, I think, to me, we need the players in there to be more clinical. And I don't think we have.
No. No, you look at the forward boys, there's, and again, it's been said that you look at the four players, there's no many goals.
No.
That's worrying.
I mean, I was looking on my site, and I'm pretty sure that the whole team, there's not a lot of them that have even got 10 goals in them for Dundee over the course of their career.
Hmm.
And that's, I mean, I know that.
And they've probably been there a number of years.
Yeah. I mean, this season we've seen a lot of goals spread out, which has been good to see.
Yeah.
But now it's came to the point where it's like, wait a minute here, your strikers haven't been knocking them in. Zach Robinson that was, obviously he's not here anymore, so. But the other ones, I mean, there's a distinct lack of goals here. I mean, people had chances in the Smurton game. Like you say, never took them. Just what it is, you know what I mean? It's a one-off cup game and everything like that. But that's what worries me the most now, though, is that we're getting the chances and we're putting them away. And it doesn't feel like even if we did here a game where everybody's got a goal, that would mean, oh, we've clicked, that we'll get the goal. I just didn't feel like these players have got it in them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, up front to date.
Well, it doesn't really help when, you know, you've got effectively two. Well, I was going to speak about this later, but I'll speak about it now, stuff it. There was some enforced substitutions, but we'll speak about them in a bit. But there were some unforced substitutions. I mean, for me, it kind of killed it a wee bit. You know, bringing on two target men, and basically you had Thomas and Sheridan on with Rudden, Sheridan and Rudden, right? But then you're taking off McMullen. So you've got these target boys, but who's there to put the ball to them? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just don't know what Bowyer was playing at. Don't get it.
See when he puts these subbies on, like flings all these big boys on, I think to me, it feels like he's just hoping something sticks.
Hitting hope.
Yeah.
That's what it's like.
It's really paid off.
Mm-hmm. McCowan came off, granted, he was bloody knackered. Mm-hmm. Like, he was knackered. But the McMullen subby, I didn't understand that. I think he took off, oh God, I can't even remember who he took off from. But it was, he brought on, sorry, Sheridan for McMullen. What? And then Sheridan was playing left mid. I really felt sorry for Jordan Marshall. I actually thought he was having a no bad game. He was solid enough, but he was having it put in a double shift.
Mm-hmm.
Sheridan wasn't doing much tracking back, and he's not exactly got bags of pace. You know, dink a ball over the fullback. Sheridan's not going to get that.
No.
We're all about playing, like, you should be playing to their strengths. Left mid is not Sheridan's strength.
Never has
been. But I'm struggling to see what his strength is.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't see it. I know people are defending him, saying he's won a few headers and that. Yeah, great. But they're not getting knocked down to anybody. But that's kind of what happens when you play two target men up front.
Headers are fine, but I want goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or you want them knocked down into somebody, but there was mm-hmm. nobody knocking. They weren't getting knocked into anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that. It was a tough game. Like I said, I did enjoy it, but we were up against an old school, dirty, horrible team. I mean, Robinson's got them set up the exact same way that he had these Motherwell team. Obviously, Weir had to do a lot of reshuffling and that with injuries and, you know, subbies and whatnot. It kind of disrupted it. But Dundee were playing some good stuff. They were playing good stuff. And even with the reshuffles, we still looked solid. We were holding our own against a good-ish, Premiership team.
Yeah.
I mean, they're sitting mid-table, they're sitting sixth, and we've held our own against another Premiership team, like we did against Rangers. Okay, a narrow defeat, but it's frustrating. It is frustrating. I can actually feel myself. I'm pure sweating. We really could have won that. I mean, it was obviously going to penalties and that, you know, frustrating. I keep using that word. That's what the name of the podcast should be, frustration. And obviously missing three penalties, but, you know, it could have been worse. We could have missed four in a promotion playoff, you know. But that's none of my business.
But I think we should touch on Taylor French's injury, which I
think
that's the end of season one for him,
100%. 100%.
And it's a massive miss for Dundee. He's going to mm-hmm. He has been fantastic in defence for us and running forward in a kind of wing back position sometimes. Horrible injury, and there wasn't much in it. It was just two players, I think, going for the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one of those freak accidents. You seen his picture on Instagram that night, and he was basically saying, "That's no good news." Which, right now, we'll speak about transfers later on. The depth of the squad was quite good at the start of the season, and we players going slowly whittling down. And French's injury has made that squad a little bit thinner. But obviously, we wish him well on the road to recovery. I think it's going to be a long one. And just hope that he bounces back quickly.
I mean, I think he should know fine well that the entire fan base hopes he makes a speedy recovery. I mean, obviously, I wish him all the best as well. Everybody was gutted. Everybody. And I think you're absolutely correct. That's him. That's out for the season. It didn't look too much in it, but you knew as soon as it was a sore one when he hit the deck, and he just looked like he was just writhing in agony.
Mm-hmm.
And then the longer it went on, you knew obviously something wasn't right. And then obviously you were getting images, you know, through from, you know, boys at the game where it was like they brought the oxygen on. They've brought the stretcher on, you know, that goes underneath them and that. So you just knew it wasn't good. But, I mean, judging by the photo, or actually judging by the images, Ashcroft plays a pass. I think he's trying to play past him. It was either Mulligan or McCowan. But Gogic reads it. Fair, as a defensive midfielder would do, he reads it, kind of overran it a wee bit. And you could just see Tyler, he's wanting to get his laces right through it and just get rid of the danger. But Gogic just gets there first, and Tyler obviously follows through and whacks his leg off Gogic's leg. So, that's not good. He came off the worst, so that's definitely the tibia that's probably going to be broken.
Is that like the most common, like, break? What is that like?
It is actually the most commonly fractured bone in the body. The shin bone.
I've not even looked to see, like, what the recovery is for that, to be honest.
I mean, it probably depends on the breakage. I mean, obviously, we're no doctors, but if it's shattered, then it's going to be longer. But if it's a clean break, but even still with these things, I mean, look at my dog, for God's sake. hit by a bloody car, but that was a shatter, and that was not good. That was plates and pins and everything. She's only just getting back to normal, and that was months ago. That was back in September. But human, bigger bone, might take longer, I don't know. But that's, for me, his season's done, and honestly, I'm absolutely gutted, my sweet prince.
I know. Like you say, at the start of the season, I was a little bit, I'm not too sure about this boy. He looks like he's got something about him. And obviously,
I loved him.
He just became like a fan favourite.
I loved him as soon as I seen him on a pitch. I was like, I love this guy.
Yeah.
Love him.
Like you say, it's a horrible injury horrible for any player to get injured like that on the pitch. But for it to happen to a player that's so important to us in defence is a big, massive blow, especially with only so many days left in the transfer window. And now I think Boyer says that his thing of looking at forward is shifted to defenders.
Yeah, I can understand why he's saying that, but I mean, for me, I still think it's a left back we need, because we've got cover at right back with Kerr and McGee, you know. So, and like I said, McGee can obviously shift into right back, but then it leaves a gap in the middle. But I mean, if you look into it, I mean, we couldn't fill the bench on Saturday.
Yeah.
Because of the injuries. Williamson was out. He got injured, I think, the day before. Burns hurt himself, so he's injured. There's another one, but anyway. I still think we're okay. I still think we're okay, but we are definitely going to miss him. But I still think we're okay there. Obviously, Fisher coming back. We'll see what he's all about. Looked good in pre-season. Good reports from Dunfermline. Might do the job. I blame Boyer for the injury, because he shouldn't have been playing centre mid.
You had to put the blame on Sunday, didn't you?
Yeah. Nah, it's just like, totally unfortunate. It was a complete accident.
Yeah.
Just coming together, and French just came off worse. That's it. And it's absolutely shite.
That is.
Proper gutted about it.
But before we kind of go into about the penalties, what was your view of the referee? He has not got any plaudits at all from the Dundee fans.
It's not just the Dundee fans. He doesn't get anything from any fans. This boy, Colin Stevens. I mean, some folks seem to believe that me and him go to the same barber.
You go to a barber?
Have a look at him. Yeah, I do, actually. Cheeky bastard. It's a bit specky. Anyway. But he was just... some people said that he let the game flow and all that kind of stuff. Nah. Like I touched on earlier, St Mirren are a horrible team. They play like this archaic style of football where it's basically rotational fouls. That's all it is. Everybody takes a turn at getting a wee foul here and there and run away through the ref, right? No worries, ref. Okay, I won't do that again. Declan Gallagher was the first guy to get booked, but it wasn't even that a great challenge on Jakubiak. I didn't even think it warranted the booking, but I think the ref just went, oh, I'm going to have to book somebody. The boy Gogic had about three fouls. The ref never even said a word to him. And I think it was either Anderson or McCowan were running through or attacking. Gogic just went through the back of him. I think it was Anderson, I think. Went through the back of him, ref plays advantage. But once the attack fizzles out, he doesn't go back to him. He doesn't go back to him and go, right, you, that's your fourth foul, there's a card. He doesn't book him till the fucking 99th minute. The referee was absolutely abysmal, as far as I'm concerned.
It sounds like he's refed every recent Dundee derby then. We can't picture. That was the same with him. He used to get stuck right in.
Yeah.
Never get booked all about like the last kick of the ball.
I mean, again, I keep using the word frustrating. It is when it's against you. I mean, when it's your team, aha, brilliant. But when it's against you, you get absolutely riled by it. And I thought the ref completely lost control of the game. He was influenced by the crowd. You know, if their fans, oh, that's a foul, then he would give them the foul. And nah. And shockeroony, he was wearing tangerine.
Now, let's not go down the Celtic conspiracy route here.
Yeah, you know, I go on about the goalkeepers wearing tangerine, but it was the bloody officials this time round. The boy Colin Stevens is an absolute joke of a referee. Absolute joke of a referee.
Yeah. I look back at some of the threads on various football forums about him. Yeah, and he's no... How's he made it as a referee with all the mistakes he's made and just being a total pap? And
absolutely.
Doesn't he want confrontation? Mm-hmm. Like Hardman, like you say, Gogic does a tackle, doesn't speak to him. It's like he's scared.
Multiple fouls, yeah. Multiple. But I mean, Gogic has always been like that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, if you let the first foul go and then it's you tell him, right, next one, you're carded. That's the way it's used mm-hmm. to always be. But this boy just lost the plot. Some people are saying he had a no bad game, like it says, but yeah. Nah, nope.
As boys like that, you wonder what their thought is behind it, because it's not like the player's going to turn around and say, right, I'll see you outside the stadium at full time. Like,
hey, you never know. I mean, might, would you book Chip Charnley?
Mind his back. I'll show him it and then, you know, I forgot to show him the yellow card.
Yeah, you'll see in the parking lot with samurai sword. Nah, I just felt, I mean, like I said, I did enjoy the game, but the ref, for me, nah. Mm-hmm. Lost control, he should have stamped his authority right at the start. But then, I mean, some folk will say, oh, you didn't want a real card shown in the, you know, early doors and that. But the ref should just, like I says, first foul, cool, second foul, you're in the book. Mm-hmm. That's it. But then, like I says, you know, St. Mirren and Robinson, they're doing the rotational fouls. Hard mm-hmm. to keep track of. So I think he probably just went, right, fuck it, I'm just going to book Gallagher. But he should have, Gogic probably shouldn't even been on the pitch. Kind of stand up, baldy. Anyway.
It feels like we're just jumping through pillar to post here, because we went to transfer rumours, the St. Mirren game and the injuries, back to the game and refs and all that. But
oh, it's brilliant. I mean, like I said to you earlier, well, before recording, you know, I started typing notes up at halftime. And then after the game, I was going to it. And then throughout the night, I was going back to it and typing up and thinking things. And then I was like, right, I hate to go to bed. I was annoyed, but I was proud of the team. Because, like I've said, any other day, we could have won that and we could have went through to the next round.
Yeah.
But for me, look, we move on, right? Success was never going to happen in this cup.
What do you mean?
Probably never. Well, look, I'm, you know me, Danny. No, forever the optimist. Chance. Forever the optimist here.
Paul, we're always in your chance to win the Scottish Cup.
Oh, fucking, nah. As far as I'm concerned, draw that line in the sand. Let's move on. The priority is the league. I mean, obviously, we've got the Diddy Cup coming up next. The Didier Cup coming up next. So, I mean, I'm saying I'm no fussed, but I really am. I'm absolutely right, because we should have won. We could have. We should have. Should have, would have, could have.
Should have, would have, could have. So let's speak about the penalties. Let's finish this chapter of the podcast of the game. Let's speak about the penalties. St. Mirren's first penalty, was it Eamon Brophy, I think?
Yeah.
Right to the keeper.
Mate, see, I'm not going to try to tell people how to take penalties and that, but see, if I was taking a penalty back in the day and playing Sunday League, just hit it down the middle, get the laces through it, boom. 9 times out of 10, the keeper's going to move.
Yeah.
But fair play to Legston, it's just stood his ground. Thank you very much.
If I was Legston's with that, I would have punched it away. Like, swung my arm and punched it away. It was that easy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, batted it away.
Yeah.
But obviously, they missed that, and you think, here we go. And then, well, what happened after that was unfortunate, because we missed 3 penalties on the trot. The first in, that's a few times Rudden had got away, we put in the ball in that position, I've noticed. That's his favourite position for a penalty. And
yeah,
does other keepers realise that that's his favourite like place to put the ball? Because the past couple, they've been really close, Falkirk and Arbroath, and now this one. I mean, keepers do the homework on people who take the penalties, so is it maybe a case of like that's where he's going? But
I believe that's something to do with Jamie Langfield, actually, because Robinson, the manager, during his wee 2.5 minute post-match interview mentioned that basically he gave credit to Jamie Langfield and said Jamie told him what way to move for each player.
Aye.
But it was a good penalty, mate. I'm sorry.
No, it was. But
it was going into the corner. The keeper's made a good save, and it's, and obviously it's hit the post, bounced back out. I mean, how unlucky can you get?
No, my point was basically a case of mix it up a wee bit, because stuff.
Oh
like
yeah,
because it's not the first time people have credited Jamie Langfield to helping them. I'm pretty sure for the, well, you mentioned the United Superman playoff game. I'm pretty sure he gave the keeper a list of places where the players put it on a bottle.
Yeah. Oh man.
So I mean, and he
I forgot about that.
And he's done it before. Like, so it's one of those things that sometimes you just wish your strikers to mix up. Like you say, it was a good penalty. He just touched it onto the post and out again. But sometimes you're like, if you keep putting it there, people will click on. And if you've got somebody like Jamie Langfield, who kens the game, who's a goalkeeper coach for them, he will spot this. Because keepers look at that type of thing, right? Where's the striker? Where's he put it in the last, like, five games?
Oh, man, I totally forgot about that, the water bottle.
Yeah.
I remember, me and my mate Bursey, I'm sure we were in the Bird and Bear in a couple of steins watching that game on my phone. It's brilliant.
Obviously, he saved the rest of it, apparently. The new boy.
I think that penalty, Rudden, that was probably the most important. If he'd buried that, I think we would have went on and won the shootout, I think.
Yeah.
But I think, because, I mean, when the first penalty was saved, I was jumping all over the place. Ah, fucking come on. And then you're just deflated. So God knows what the players felt like.
Mm-hmm.
But then up steps big Mark O'Hara.
Yep. XD, he was never missing that, just purely because he was an XD. He could have walked up with two dead legs and just swung his leg at the ball. It would have went in just because he's an XD.
I like Mark O'Hara. I thought he had a kind of quiet game.
He's a type of boy that was gutted when he went, and I would hate back in the team.
Definitely. I would love a player like him. But yeah, no, it was a good penalty.
But let's not speak about their penalties, because their penalties went in. Let's not get you angry or angrier.
I'm going to go green in a minute.
I'm saying, let's not speak about their penalties getting scored, but let's go and speak about the Dundee penalties that were saved.
Yeah, let's do that.
So our new signing, who we'll all speak about as well, Thomas. I didn't think it was a bad penalty. There was a lot of pace behind the ball. It just did it seem to, like, the keeper saved it, but went under and underneath him and up. And I thought
it was nestling in the bottom corner. Mate.
Yeah, yep. His run up was a little bit unorthodox. They thought it looked kind of like, I don't know, just like he kind of stuttered his way up to the penalty, but he certainly didn't have flash it.
I thought you got the license through it, mate. I thought maybe nestle into the corner wasn't probably the right word. I think he was a bit bursting it. I still think it. Watching it again, I'm like, how's that no went in? I thought it was a brilliant penalty.
See, what I would say, though, about the two players being strikers, get that bar and blast that high as you can into the net instead of in the corner. That's what I'd always say. Just stay that way. Then he put it in the bottom. Easier for keepers to save it. Devin Dunne, you blast it and it's going up the woods. It's harder for them, eh? So, and then obviously, young Lyle Cameron missed his. But you know what? Fair play to him for standing up and taking that penalty, because there's more senior players in that team that should have been ahead of him, that should have been, no, I'm taking this, because it was a crucial penalty. And like you say, I thought he was good when he came on, had a good game. He gave the manager questions on his next kind of couple of formations, but at the same time, for him to hit the balls to go and take that penalty, and fair enough, he missed it. I would not hold that against them at all, but there's boys in that team that have been there for years, played bloody Champions League football and all that, that couldn't step up and take that pressure apparently, which I thought was quite poor.
Mate, I've genuinely no other words to say. Absolutely right, fair play to him. What is he, 20?
Yeah.
20 years old. Oh, give me the ball, I'll go up.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking love him.
in a way.
I absolutely love him.
In a way, Paul, it's a wee good learning from, of anything.
And see, the thing is, I feel it, that he will 100% learn from that.
Yeah. I mean, we're at the Cup, but we probably would have been at the Cup anyway because of the two penalty misses previous. But this is the type of thing that can makes a player's personality come out. What's the word I'm looking for?
Character.
Yeah, character, that's it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he can come out the next couple of games and show it's not affected them, it's like okay then. Like, this boy's made a sterner stuff, which I believe he is anyway, because he's came into the first team, he's then went out the first team, he's came back into the first team, and you wouldn't notice that he was dropped. His attitude has been spot on.
Bang on, mate. Mm. Nail on head. Been saying it for weeks, what a player he is. And it was great. It was great to see so many other folks saying that he was Dundee's man of the match.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was. He's always wanting the ball. If he loses the ball, he's getting it back. He rarely plays a pass astray or awry, whatever way you say it. He rarely does it. He's just, he's a cracking wee player. Mm-hmm. Cracking wee player. Obviously came on for Kerr, who went off after two dirty challenges for the fucking buddies, Minx. And he was Dundee's best player. And he was so unlucky with his Di Canio scissor kick, mm-hmm, for the edge of the box. But that was a brilliant save again for Carson. I mean, I'll say it again. I think his passing and movement, it's just so impressive for a laddie that's 20-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
He says, always wants the ball. And if he loses it again, you know, he wins it back. He's just, that's what we need.
Well, that was one of the things I think he was no longer on, and he made a pass, and it kind of went back the way, and Simon got the ball and started going forward with it. And the first thing he was doing was running back to get the ball, tracking back. He's no type of boy that loses the pass, lets his head go down, like some young players might do, and mm-hmm, then that's it. No, he was like head down, trying to get the ball back. Like you say, boys that age will make passes like that, but it's refreshing to see he's not going to lie down and just take it. He's playing for the team.
Like I said, I mean, and I've been told from folk I know him that after training, boom, straight to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's always trying to improve himself. And I guarantee you, after missing that penalty, he'll be practicing penalties non-stop,
mm-hmm,
until he's like, yep, give me another one. But I don't think he was shy away from taking another penalty. No. Not a chance. I just think there's something about him, eh?
Mm-hmm.
It
would not be against him if he was on the pitch taking the next penalty in a game that we played, purely because he showed the guts to stand up to take that penalty in a absolutely pressure point of the game.
Definitely. I mean, if you've stood there and watched two strikers no scoring, and folk will be a fucking shit, who's going to score? And then you're like, give me the ball, I'll go up, I'll get, mm-hmm, a bash. I mean, to be fair, his penalty was pretty crap. It was poor. It was easy for a goalkeeper. But yeah, like I've said, he will go back on the pitch, the training field, and he will, and he'll be practicing non-stop. I love him, eh? I think he's class. Both footed. He's got a wee energy about him. Wee zip, wee zing, mm-hmm, just he's class. Needs tied down immediately.
Yeah. Well, you came up. We'll stop speaking about Dundee exiting the Scottish Cup purely because it happens all the time and it's nothing new.
Yeah.
And we'll just move on to, we'll move on to transfers actually.
Okay.
I kind of don't say that in the intro, but we'll look at transfers because there's been movement. So, look, we've not spoke about players out. Obviously, Zach Robertson went, Niall McGinn went to Glen Torm, and Desi Ose, he's gone.
Big Desi. He was shite.
He was. You know what?
he was stinking. Like, come on.
We never went hard on him in the podcast when he was playing for us because he scored a couple of goals, and the fact that I loved the nickname that you gave him, Desi.
Big but Desi.
Let's be honest. I mean, it felt like that he was tripping over the bar when he had it, when there was nobody around him. I think he actually did do that.
He probably did.
He he didn't look like a footballer. It's all buds in there, but he didn't.
Nah, he looked like he should have been paraded with the boys like Mendy and Nguantala, kind of they boys.
Yeah.
When they came in, he would have fit right in there. Like,
yeah. I know what you mean, like the lower league English signs that were made that you thought you might be onto something because he's, yeah, you know, he's there's a good plaudits to himself or good, like people have spoken about the performances, but as soon as they've made the step up to Scottish football, which is mere bloody, like you get studs into your shins and stuff like that. Hey,
into your face. And,
yeah, it's...
He'll be on the Herbal Life soon.
I heard that Martin Woods is trying to get him onto his pyramid scheme.
So is Craig Curran. They're fighting.
Who else is fucked off, actually? Oh, Grayson.
Grayson and Luke Strachan.
Yep. Well, Luke Strachan's on loan, isn't he?
On loan, yeah.
Peterhead, was it?
Something like that, yep.
Yeah, just go for Peterhead. Grayson, he's gone. Sensible. He's, what, 1 minute in 7 games or something? I loved the reporter that tweeted that he was leaving Dundee because of financial difficulties. And then you read that and you were like, oh, fuck, no again. Mm-hmm. We've been here too many times. Then you seen his second tweet was like basically saying that Gary Boyer's gutted because he's impressed him at Dens. And you thought, well, this is a load of shit.
That is an absolute pork pie.
Yeah, straight away.
You just needed that boy, 115,000 followers or something, mm-hmm. sprouting that absolute dog meat. Ah, man, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Got rid of him to free up wages.
Mm-hmm.
To free up wages and also the fact that Grayson was stinking. Mm-hmm. Another player that just, was he, I think he was a footballer. Brilliant, brilliant game against Arbroath.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
He had, I would say he had a good few touches on him. But as a few people have said, he's basically played academy football down in England. And regardless of who you are in England for academy football, once you get put into the bloody, like I said, years at a time, like blood and snotters of a league, that's what shows you, like the mental toughness, or just toughness in general, like of what kind of player you are. And he, it seemed like he was that used to playing academy football where there's no pressure, and you can probably tackle about 5 touches, no up here. You get the bar, you've got like 4 6-foot-5 Scotsmen running at you, really used to not even boot the bar, boot you.
Correct. Oh, but apparently he's got a wand of a left foot.
I've never seen that once.
Fucking disappearing act. Alakazam. Stinking.
Alakazam, just as quick as he was here, he's gone.
He's disappeared.
But we did bring in the player, like you said, he missed the penalty. You've already gave him a wee nickname, haven't you?
Yeah, Kwame Kerr.
That sounds like me trying to say Kwame Kerr's name with about 10 pints in this.
It does.
Cheeky bastard.
Here. Oh, that's absolutely brilliant, Kwame Kerr.
Let's be honest, it wasn't the best of debuts, but you kind of had that against the boy. He was signed, what, a day, 2 days prior.
He's signed probably on the Thursday and then he's playing the Saturday. He's probably had one training session. Mm-hmm. But to be fair, he came on, what, half hour ago?
Yeah.
And come the 90 minutes, he looked like he was gubbed.
And let's be honest, as we've spoke about Lil Cameron taking a penalty, he was taking a penalty.
I know.
He doesn't even care half the teammates' names and he's standing up to take a penalty, which
probably
again,
doesn't care any of their names.
Yeah, it's a bugbear to me because there's people on that team that should have been stand up, but we've already spoke about that. Well, no.
Sheridan.
He probably would have slipped and at the penalty spot and shinned it to the keeper or something like that, but
broke his ponytail or something. I thought he was okay, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember seeing someone that he's not played since November, mm-hmm. and it showed.
Yeah.
He did look miles off the pace. Come 90 minutes, I thought he was knackered, he was gubbed, you know, but he was putting himself about. And there was one bit where I think a ball went over and he's went up to get it, and he basically, so Mirren got a foul, put it that way, but both their boys were on the deck and big Kwame Kerr's just swaggering past them. See you later, boys. But I mean, he got booked. He was all elbows, you know. Mm-hmm. He was all elbows. But I think, I mean, again, signed on Thursday, probably had one training session, and then he's played. So I think folk need to go off his back a wee bit. I know his goal scoring record's shite, mm-hmm. but he's a target man.
Yeah.
But I don't think we need target men. Like,
we need somebody to score goals. Yeah.
Need somebody to put the ball in the bloody net.
Yeah.
What's fucking James Grady doing? Fucking bet he's kept himself fat. Game again.
I mean, Eddie Annan's on Twitter. I can drop him a DM right now. Let's slide right into them DMs.
Let's do it. Let's get the band back together.
Was Kanija then? He was playing for bloody FC Wembley about 5 years ago.
Okay, I bet he's still fit. Full of drugs test, though.
Yeah. There's a reason. There's a reason he's still fast.
But again, it's, I think, you know, there's got to be strikers out there that can put the ball in the net, and they're not just 6-foot-odd target men.
Well, there's that wee rumour going about that we're looking at Conor Shields from Motherwell.
I haven't seen that.
That was, I don't know the account. I've never really seen that account on Twitter. Mm. But it's got loads and loads of followers, like thousands upon thousands. And that put that Queen's Park were looking at them as well. And there was another Scottish team and Wersels. So that's one to keep an eye on. But like I say, it's silly season right now for transfer rumours. There's probably nothing in that, but it's worth noting.
Conor Shields, it's got about 10 goals in his career or something.
It's one more than Kwame Jones. Kwame Jones for fuck's sake.
Kwame Jones. Call him Jonesy.
Oh, man.
Jonesy Kerr.
And then we've still got the rumour of Callum Butcher sticking around. I didn't realise that he's actually not even featuring that much down south for whatever team took him on.
Burton
Albion, is it? Mm-hmm. So there could be something in that. But again, it's fairly quiet on that front, to be honest.
Like we were saying earlier, or like what Bowyer was going on about, the approach has shifted from, mm-hmm. you know, attack-minded players now to defensive. And I said it right back, I think we should be okay because we've got Kieran McGee. If Marshall was out, Kerr could go at left back. I think we're okay there. And middle of the park, there's loads of boys there. Well, obviously, if they're fit, because you've got Robertson, mm-hmm. Williamson, Byrne. You know, McGee, if he's not playing right back, you know, there's that there. It's a striker. It's a boy that is going to just terrorise defenders and just noise them up and put the ball in the net. To me, I don't think it should be shift, but is he just saying that?
I could still be looking. I don't think he's that daft to realise that we're not getting goals up top. That because French is now going to be out for, like I said, we don't know yet, but more than likely will be out for the rest of the season. That's his whole goal, is to look for a replacement for him. I can't see it being like that. I think you'll still be looking at a striker, but the striker you just described there, it's going to be hard to find one like that in this window.
It is. And this was my worry. You know, bringing in Kwame, right?
Jones.
Kwame Jonesy Kerr. He's no play since November. We can't afford to have guys coming in that aren't a match fit. They're, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Okay, it's going to take every player time to look, to get into Dundee's tactics, get into Bowyer's tactics. That's a given. But if they're no match fit, this sounds really bad. I said that I was not going to give, you know, the new signing a hard time. It's not his fault, but it's not what we need right now.
We need people to come in and hit the ground running.
Bang on.
Yeah.
You've been reading my cliche book.
Been reading your notes because you had them up at the webcam.
That's true. It's like I says, it's we can't afford for a guy to take 3 to 4 weeks to get match fit.
No,
we need boys to come in and do a job right now.
Mm-hmm. Because that's we've known one since the start of the year, and it feels like, I mean, why the fuck are we still in January? It's been a long start of the month.
Oh, it has.
There's been, like you say, the games called off, games we've played, games we've been beaten, games we've drawn. I think that the dreaded manager of the month curse has hit Dundee. That's what it feels like.
I'm not worried. But I would like to see a couple of bodies, more bodies coming in.
Actually, did Boyd even get manager of the month last month?
I think it was Owen Coyle. It was Owen Coyle. Yep.
Well, hopefully it hits them on Saturday.
Yeah, hopefully it does.
Maybe it's just been a delayed reaction for yours.
Maybe.
Listen, what transfer rumours are that we've got no substance behind what we've just said. It's basically just filling this podcast. So, like you say, there could be other, there'll be players that we sign that we've never heard of. I'm fairly certain of that. I think it'll go right up to the last day.
I think you're right, Danny.
It's going to be a usual Dundee transfer window, right up to the last day. And then we'll end up with some boy fae, Kiddy Winston Harriers on loan or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably not really getting a game for them. That to me, that's my worry.
Yeah.
That's my worry. There has to be wee hidden gems, wee diamonds in the rough, that have been playing week in, week out in the Scottish leagues below. There's got to be. That can make a step up to the Championship. There has to be. I mean, I genuinely think of boys off the top of my head, but like I said, look at the boy Savory that Queen's Park signed for Peterhead. Brilliant. Hit the ground running with them. Brilliant player. Watch out for him in a couple of years, I'm telling you. I mean, me and my old boy always say this, like, why are you signing boys from down south that are not even getting games for under 23s or anything like that? Why are they coming up here? And there's got to be players in Scotland that are just, well, a wee push, they can make the step up.
Well, there was one that I heard that actually, now that we're speaking about it, was it another boy for Albion Rovers? Yeah, Charlie Riley.
Riley?
Yeah. I think he's a midfielder. I think he's 12 assists.
By scoring Andy's assist then.
I mean, it's Albion Rovers, fair play. But if he's got them kind of stats behind him, he's worth a look. I think he was previously at Partick.
Hamilton as well. Yeah.
Hamilton. I mean, we've seen our same boys that haven't really been making it. Went to other teams and they've blossomed. This could be a case of that. One of them more. It just could be, like I say, another rumour. But it's worth keeping an eye out for players like that. And it'd be good if we were looking at players like that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We're doing all the Greg Stewart. And even to, like, Akeem Hemmings. I know he was at Rangers, but he ended up at Kildonbeef. Beef with them. So there is there. So that's maybe a name to keep an eye out for. But listen, let's stop flinging names about for people they're excited about.
Come on, Dundee, get the finger out.
But let's speak about Tuesday's game. At the third attempt, we might play Dunfermline in this Challenge Cup game. I mean, last week, I'm surprised that nobody bloody took a soundbite and slagged us for it, but I said that we would be speaking about this game because it'd be 100% on. And less than 24 hours later, after the pod was released, pitch inspection called off. Just sitting there for about 2 days thinking, nobody better bloody can.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Tagged us in it, eh? But nobody must listen to this podcast to the end, so thank God.
Oh, yeah. Thank God. Well done. Oh, yeah. Choke for this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it should be on. It's been over a week now. It has still been frosty, but I mean, I say this should be on. I'm not putting my name to anything now. It could be on.
I hope it is on.
Yeah. I mean,
I really do.
I think you look at Dundee's statement and basically just saying, whenever turned on under Soil Heaton, fair play, they didn't have to turn it on. And to be honest, with the state of the pitch and the big freeze that was made to happen, if they put under Soil Heaton on, we probably would have still had the same state of the pitch regardless. So I remember George Cran saying in an article, before the Cove game got called off at the start of the season, it was, they had the undersoil heating on, and it was $15,000 to have that running. You can imagine what the price would be now to have that running. So why would you put it on for a game that's more likely going to get called off, and that you've probably not made enough ticket sales to make the money back off it anyway?
Exactly.
The club took a lot of flack for it, and then it gets rang. The first time it got called off, like you said before, I was like, what the hell's happening here? But now I'm kind of like, well, you know what, we'll save you that money then. Aye. What's the point?
I wouldn't have put it on because it's a well-known fact, Sonny Jim, that there's an issue with the drainage, right? So the water's just sitting on the top of the grass. It's not going anywhere. It gets cold. What happens to water when it goes below freezing? It freezes. If you turn the temperature up, what's going to happen? The water will melt, but there's nowhere for it to go. So why would you turn on the undersoil heating? It's still going to be a puddle. It's just, mate, absolute bonkers. I wouldn't need absolute shambles.
I feel like you just had a science lesson there, and you'll not get this, but I've got a daughter that watches Mr. Tumble on BBC BBs. That's the thing, he would come at me, so he's a bit of a clown as well, so.
Oh, I'm the biggest, like. But it's right, though.
Aye.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, if the water's not got anywhere to go, why would you turn the heating on to melt it?
Yep.
But anyway.
I like the way the club just came out and said, I would not have turned it on. Because normally clubs, you know how sometimes the games have been off and you think to yourself, they've not put their undersoil heating on. That game could have easily been on. There's plenty of times that's happened in Scottish football that you think, good end, the weather's fine. But the statements that they always put out, it's in a roundabout way. They never ever say that they've never done it. Dundee are just like, never put it on.
Good. Yeah. Good. Because in the long run, the pitch could probably get even worse if they did. So why risk that?
Mm-hmm. I'm still kind of thinking to myself, why have they rearranged it for this week as well when we've got the Queen's Park game coming up on the Saturday? I'd be thinking you wouldn't want a fixture at all, but maybe they've got to, maybe they've been told, right, if you kind of get it on that date, you've got to do that one. If it's not that one, it's got to be that Tuesday and so on, just to get these ones out of the way.
I would take it before Queens.
Mm-hmm.
100%. We've not played really since what? The Arbroath game.
Played 2 days ago.
Well, that game as well. forget that game. Ha, smart arse. But I mean, we want to have the match fit.
Mm-hmm. Aye.
To right, get them a competitive game against a good team, set yourself up nicely for against the Queen's Park boys. 100%.
It could be, like you say, a chance, like your Lyle Camerons and Finlay Robertson, get them on, boys like that.
Cameron's got to be a banker at start. He's got to be nailed on to start. You know, say this cup is a wee bit of a distraction for the league, but I mean, it is one that I think we can win. Mm-hmm. I do. I'm always going to think we can win. Obviously, it'd be nice for some silverware, but I mean, it's no vital.
Mm-hmm.
It's no vital. But I mean, we've obviously got, we do have some injuries mounting up. But for me, get the boys in that aren't playing regular, get them in, get the start that blooming, start Kwame Kerr, get him started, get him a game against a tough team. And as long as we come out, I mean, if we win the game, great. If we get beat, but we'll come out unscathed, no injuries, bonus.
Because
then that's going to give boys like Williamson and Kerr potentially and Byrne time to come back for Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I'd happily have this game on Tuesday. And I think the team are probably choking for it as well.
Aye, no, there will be. Especially after the way we went out the cup there. Mm-hmm. They'll not be wanting to make it a double dunter again, put out cup competitions.
I mean, one team will.
Aye, well, that's what I was waiting to say. So, obviously, Dunfermline were beaten at penalties 4-2 after drawing 1-1 after extra time. And that's their first defeat in 11 games. So it's always good to go up against a team who have suffered defeat like that.
Both teams are practically the exact same.
it's hard to turn around and be like, well, we could either the one up here. I mean, we've recalled Sam Fisher, who by accounts has been one of their better players this season, and they're absolutely gutted. We've seen one Dunfermline fan quoting Dundee, or no, it was Dunfermline's account when they announced it, hoping that we get liquidated for the 40th time or something. So, I mean, he was bailing.
Crime war,
yeah. So they've obviously got that he's gone. I don't know, he'll be cup tied regardless, so he'll not be in that team. But he could be featuring against Queen's Park on Saturday in some form.
He'll be on the bench, guaranteed.
Via the bench, yeah.
Guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
I'm, you know what? You know me, I'm always confident about that we're going to pump the teams and win 3-0 and that, but this Queen's Park game,
Yeah.
But it's a game for both teams to show their title credentials.
Yeah. I mean, so take it with just playing Dunfermline game then and just going straight to the Queen's Park game.
We've spoke about the Dunfermline game for about three bloody weeks.
I don't think there's anything left to speak about.
No.
So we will move on.
I put Mulligan at right back. That'd be it.
Mm-hmm.
Keep McGee in middle of the park. That's the only time I'm going to say that.
But it's the big one. And who would have thought that in January you'd be saying top of the table, Queen's Park are coming to Dens Park? I think many would.
No.
But that's no trying to say they didn't deserve to be top of the table. 100% do. It's just that I never expected them to be where they are at this time of the year. Like I say, I think I basically said it was between us and Partick.
Look at that turnout.
I know, but it's going to be, I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be a good game.
I think it will be a good game.
Yeah, because they play football. We've seen them play at Dens. They play football. But so do we.
I know you're absolutely right.
Tiki-taki.
Yeah. Vertical tiki-taki.
I think by accounts as well that they're going to be bringing more support than what they normally would to an away game to Dens. I've seen that their club account was putting out that they've filled buses and whatnot and maybe putting on a couple extra more. So they're obviously seeing this as a massive game, which it is.
So they're putting on two buses instead of one.
They've moved it to a double decker.
Oh, berry bus. brilliant.
Get a wee shift in at the fields just before coming in.
I used to love doing that with my granny and granddad. It was great.
I always slept in. I was notorious for sleeping in. I always slept in when it came to going to the berries when I was younger.
I'd eat a punnet on the way back to my granny's. Granny was raging.
See, I grew up in front of lad all my life. And that's probably one of the only blemishes on my CV, is that I never went to the berries. People didn't believe. I'm looking at front of me when I say that I never went.
Oh, you're a toff. But anyway, yeah, they'll be on a double-decker berry bus. That's brilliant. Anyway. Right.
All seriousness, I think they're going to bring a good couple of hundred for this game. It's going to be, like say, a big in Dundee. Are doing the, obviously they've done the season ticket book, so you can get a friend for nothing. And you know, I think that's been advertised as well.
What, for the Queen's Park?
Yeah, it's not been put out there. It was for the Partick game. And I think they did maybe mention Queen's Park, but they've not pushed it. It's not been like, you'd be thinking, this is a huge, let's try and get as many people through the doors. But
because they'll announce it like on the Thursday or something. So people buy tickets.
Yeah.
And then on Thursday, boom.
Well, it's already on the website as well. But it was on the website a couple of weeks, well, last week. But I've just not seen a big push for people with a season ticket book to, like, bring a friend.
What was it? What?
Bring a friend.
Season ticket book?
Dead. Nah, I never said that, did I?
You've said it twice. Season ticket book.
I'm ashamed of myself.
You okay. Said it twice. Get it? Yeah. Yes.
I'm ashamed of myself.
Kids, adults, whatever, take your season ticket book to Dens and get a ticket for your pal.
I feel like doing that Game of Thrones when the lassie gets shamed and she has to walk through the streets naked, getting stuff flung at her on my day of that. No, they didn't fling anything, it'll just be empty because you then
want to see this. Run away.
They left it for the police.
Yeah, no, it's strange. Strange. Mm-hmm. But you want a good crowd. Find a team. Like I said, didn't go on their backs.
No.
Try not to. I mean, like it says, I'm looking forward to it, I must admit. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's plenty of the season to go, obviously. Yes.
No, a draw isn't bad here, Paul.
It isn't bad.
We've got a game in hand on them. Mm-hmm. So if we can keep it to, what is it, five points? Four? Yep. I mean, 5 points. So a draw isn't bad. We've got a game in hand. I mean, ideally, it would be a win. And then it's in our hands. But like you say, plenty of time for this season to go. Look how quick it was for us to be top of the league to sitting 5 points behind.
Yeah,
in less than a month.
I think a win for either team here could be monumental to the title push. You know what I mean? I really do, because I mean a win sees us goes two behind. Like you says, with a game in hand against Cove at home, you'd expect what a win that you would, but a defeat sees us go eight behind.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mentality thing. You're looking 8 point.
Yep, and especially the way they're humping teams just now. I know that they just got beat for you. I think the last game was against Rafe in the Challenge Cup.
Yeah.
They arrested Simon Murray. So
maybe I should go on their podcast and just say, right, Queens, we're going to smash Abdi, and then they'll stop. They'll just stop.
You do that, I'll go and bet hospitality at Oakleview and walk about with a Queens Park scarf on.
Sounds good to me, mate.
Infiltrate them.
Infiltrate.
They'll destroy. The lengths we would go to, all this good luck, bad luck, nonsense.
True.
You max your own luck.
See, for me, I know you're saying like a draw, but we've got to win that. I'm just saying a win here is vital for us. Obviously, I'm not going to highlight any players, but it's obvious the ones that we need to keep quiet. Mm-hmm.
We know what players, I think the fans now know what players are instrumental in this Queens team. That are pulling the strings and fucking landing the punches.
Yep.
I mean, we never really kept them quiet at the Dens game, despite the 3-0 scoreline. Like, they had some chances. They were just unlucky that they never scored some of them before we got a couple of goals.
Absolutely right.
But I know some of the results haven't been good the past couple of weeks, but we are a different team from when we last played them at Dens. So we're kind of hoping that the Denny Kenwer actual game plan and everything like that. But I mean, I'm not really too sure what team he's going to put out. I think it all kind of goes on Tuesday's game as well. I think after we see who he plays and how long they play for. I mean, if he's playing Lyle Cameron and he comes off after 50 minutes, you could be thinking, well, he's in line for Saturday and whatnot. It gives you a good indication on who he's thinking of playing.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I didn't want to overthink this game too much because I didn't really care what team we're going to put out.
I'd see if it was me. 4-4 fucking 2. And I would play Mulligan at right back.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he looked really good. Really, really good against Simon at right back.
He has to go back to the formation that he was playing prior to changing it against Arbroath. That we went the 10 game unbeaten.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the day that.
The 3-5, yeah, it was like wing-backs and that, but
could Mulligan play in this game? I can't, he was suspended. Was it 3 games? But was that league games only?
Yeah.
So will he miss this one?
No. It's league. Is it no?
Well, has he missed 2 games already?
Pass.
See, you sit and do your notes. And look over everything.
Mate, he was, right, it's a 3-game ban in the league.
Mm-hmm. And we played.
Are you on about the? Oh, is he going to play in the Queen's game? Oh, I was talking about the film. Yeah, no, he'll probably play. Mm-hmm. Nah.
Nice save of the face there.
Yeah, done well, eh? Oh, yeah.
Williamson,
winging it.
Williamson, he'll still be missing, will he?
Well, I don't know, but that's what I was on about. Like, they're probably not going to be even in with a shout of playing against Dunfermline.
Yeah.
So hopefully that'll give them the time to recover for the game on Saturday.
Aye, come on.
Him and Byrne.
I really should look up the rules of red cards and what competitions and all that, because I probably just said a lot of not information that's nonsense. Absolutely nonsense.
That's not like you, Danny. That's not like you at all.
Like you say, wing it.
Absolutely.
Winging the prayer. But,
because I'm certain with Mulligan, it was because he's had two reds. This he was given it's a three game ban.
Yeah.
He was out for the game against Arbroath, Raith. Yeah, so if it's three, I'm 99% certain it's three. Mm-hmm. He'll be out for the game against Queens.
Yeah. Which we're kind of playing it right back then.
If Kerr's fit, mm-hmm. Kerr.
Yeah.
If not, McGee. Why am I talking like a robot? I don't know. But then McGee obviously being out there, the middle of the park, then it's going to be a young middle of the park, which I've not really got an issue with.
Yeah.
You would have Cameron, Anderson, Robertson. There you are. There's your three. Mm-hmm. If you're playing a three as a pivot, by the way.
I think that's all we can speak about this game. Let's just get fucking stuck in.
Yes, Danny. Yes.
There's a little bit of positivity for you.
That's what I like to hear from you. That's what I like to hear from you, son. Come on.
It's rare. This 3-0. I've still not got the bottle to give you a score prediction like that, though.
No, I didn't bother.
But let's just get stuck in. Fuck it. It's, like you say, if say the draw isn't a bad result, but let's just get the win. First win of the year.
Let's get this
monkey off our back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Come on, Eddies.
Right, that's it. We're moving on for that. Before we go on to on this day with the D archive, I'd just like to say a few things that I've been putting on the website recently. So, since November, end of November, tirelessly adding in everything on the way back from 2018. I'm currently down to 2011-12, adding all the match reports from James Christie, when players have signed, when they've left, date of births, bloody pictures, if I've got a picture, and also, you know, like, opposition lineups and all that capers. So plenty is going in that you probably wouldn't see or notice really unless you started looking at in depth at stuff. So that's just a wee heads up at what's popping on there.
Should be proud of that, man. That is painstaking work. That is hard going.
Painstaking. Yes. Oh my God, it's painstaking.
Oh, you're doing well, mate.
But I'm getting there. And obviously, I've had a plenty of player profiles sent in. I'm currently working through the 100 and odd that Kenny Ross sent in.
Class.
I've done some of them. I think I got down to 99 and then had to stop because I was like, I've got so much putting in. And I've went back and started adding them as I go on this year, because obviously once I'm adding the season stats in, I'm looking at the player list and thinking, right, let's get all the essentials knocked out on these ones. And I just start doing that. You just get snowballed into adding everything else. So it's, you wouldn't think I had a wife and a bairn.
Well, and a job. I was about to say, with your work and overtime and doing this.
Aye. Most people are surprised when I said I've got a wife anyway. So
I know, I was about to say.
If anything, it makes them think I'm lying even more.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, you're doing well, mate. Some work on that website, by the way. It's brilliant.
I think by the summer, I'll have definitely from 1997, the present day, all kitted out, apart from biographies on players, on most of them anyway. And then by the end of the year, I'm 100% sure I'll have from 79 up the present day, totally done and dusted. And then it's just a case of working my way back and filling out all the the rest of the seasons. So it is painstaking. Sometimes you just feel like lobbing your laptop out the windy.
Nah, man, keep doing it. Keep doing it. Listen, I'll happily do a couple of biographies of Craig Curran and Martin Woods if you want.
I'm just writing shite, and that's it.
There's an absolute wavelength here because that was the only word I was thinking of.
It's done.
Done.
It's done and dusted. Obviously, I've got plenty of boys that have been sending me in stuff as well. So, I mean, it's not just me. I'm inputting it all, but there's, like I say, Kenny Ross has sent us in player profiles, and I've had people sending in Alan Kettles, Stephen Galloway, as Scott Galloway has handed in program covers. So Scott Alan's currently doing like season 1951 onwards for me and stuff like that, and also
what?
Handing in this season's as well.
Wow.
There's plenty of people there helping out. It's just like I say, it's just mental sometimes. And I just let it build up and then decide one weekend, when am I get this done? Then you look at it and think, whew, I should just start drinking again.
I can help you with that.
So the 24th of January 1962, so obviously it's the year that Dundee won the league. It was a 2-1 victory over St Johnstone at Dens. Alan Gilzean and Andy Penman. Names that you'd never get tired of hearing about.
Never.
Never. And then the 25th, 2004, a 2-1 win against United. Nacho Novo and Steve Lovell. I think that's the derby that United fans turned up with there. Monopoly money. It was just after financial difficulties and they were waving it in the
and I bet they thought they were being funny. They were actually, it was quite funny.
As a way to say it, it was quite good
for them. Those cave dwellers.
The 26th, a little known winger called Paul McMillan, seen for Dundee. 2021 on loan. I like the debates that arise on Twitter between Dundee and Dundee United fans when they're comparing McMillan with other boys that play for the teams, and obviously I wouldn't get into that, the petty arguments myself, but I do enjoy how boys get absolutely warmed up on both sides, to be honest, about them. Well, that's what we do well for us, though. But the 27th, 2018, a 2-1 win against Hamilton. Henvey scored his first goal.
Oh, remember? Yeah.
Yep. And A.G. Leach-Smith in the 98th minute.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Was that no when Henvey got walloped?
No, I think that... No, I wasn't too sure, and I should have really looked up before that.
It was a Hamilton captain or something, he foot in the ball, injured himself.
It was that Fug Darian McKinnon.
That's it, yeah. Right.
I think it could have been another game.
It probably was, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely non-footballer. I think in the Prodigy Road podcast we spoke about how I got into an argument with him, Stephen Hendry, and another Hamilton player the day that we won 3-0 against Alloa and they got beat. So basically we just needed to win on the last day of the season to win the title. Mm-hmm. And all I put was, enjoy the championship next season, lads, on Twitter. And they annihilated me, like fat mess. I'm not fat. Like, I kind of slide my weight. I'm not fat, but I was getting called fat mess and everything like that. But I just kept like winding them up and just kept biting, and eventually they blocked us.
Oh, that's absolutely brilliant.
That was on my old Twitter account where like there was wind ups all the time. Probably best deleted.
Oh, that's brilliant. Good, get a write up them.
Fuck them. Yeah. Hamilton, isn't it? Fuck them.
Just a typical Hamilton player. You know what I mean?
A fug on the pitch and a fug on social media.
Knuckle dragon bastard.
The 28th, we announced his signing with the open goal song. I'll not say what I sang it, but the Joker. Remember the film The Joker when he's coming down the stairs? Dundee announced the signing of Jason Cummins. Along the same route. A very missed opportunity with him on both sides.
Definitely.
But let's know.
I mean, it's worked out better for him. Disappointing that it didn't work out. But yeah, that was a good, I must admit, that was a good signing video.
But we'll know Wallow in the past. So we'll go, so on the 29th of January, we'll go all the way back to 1947. Dundee signed Alfie Boyd, £4,000 for St Johnstone, a club record fee at the time. And he obviously helped Dundee to back-to-back League Cup wins in the 50s, the first team to do so. Obviously, a Dundee legend, so I'm surprised I was able to get that actual date to you signing on. But that's what you do when you are fucking bar-deep in an archive website that you can't climb out of.
You're never coming out of that.
I'm in a hole of random 1930 footballers signing for Dundee and leaving to go to the war and all that.
Thank you for your services.
But that's it. That is your week on this day on the D Archive.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
Like I say, should be more happening over the coming months, but I'm not shy on sharing what gets put up, so you'll find it when I find it. So there you go.
Yep.
But Paul, I think that's all for this week. Again, just a quick shout out to obviously the Douglas Youths with the Charlie Adam evening. Give that a look at, and it should be a good night. And if anything, you get to see Paul get bloated after 4 pints. So,
good then. Speak about yourself. Hopefully, I don't get in a fight with a wall this time.
Wall / pavement / concrete.
Everything.
Building. Yeah.
Everything. This beautiful face can't take anymore.
I can't attack any more cement hitting it.
Yeah, true. Out of nowhere.
But Paul, it's been an absolute privilege and pleasure to have you on this podcast.
Right back at you, Danny. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure and privilege just to have you as a friend.
Oh.
So anything after that is a bonus.
Oh. What are you after?
Yeah, you'll find out later.
Oh, really?
Well, until then, give the podcast a listen. Give any other ones that you've not listened to a catch up on. We have got interviews there. We've got Cammy Kerr's interview. We've got Jockey Scott's. We've got Matt Lockwood. We've got Gavin Ray. We will be publishing, I think, Jim McAllister, Peter McDonald, and their Barry Smith. And there might be somebody else I can't mind. They'll all be getting put up soonish as well when I can be bothered to record an intro for them. Which only takes 20 seconds, but takes an awful lot of effort.
That's for you.
Yep. So give that a look. But we'll be back next week while we'll either be speaking about getting pumped to another cup and getting pumped at him, or going through in another cup and closing the gap at the top. Who knows? We sure sell, don't we? But we'll speak to you next week. Bye.